In March of this year, Iris Chaim, the mother of Hamas hostage Yotam Chaim, who was accidentally shot dead by the IDF in December of 2023 as he tried to reach freedom, said she is beginning a process to use her slain son's sperm to make a grandchild. In an interview with Yedioth Ahronot, Chaim said she was looking for a woman to provide the egg and carry the child, not just as a surrogate, but as someone who would be a mother to the child and become a member of her family. "We have sperm, which is an amazing thing that really helps," she said, adding that it will give her late son continuity. "The child who is born will have a father figure. The mother will be able to talk to him about his father, Yotam, and he will have a family, us. This gives us a lot of hope and light in this darkness." Chaim has submitted a request to the Be'er Sheva family court to get legal permission to use the sperm. Asked what kind of mother she wanted for her grandson, Chaim joked, "I'd be happy with a ginger grandchild, but this is not a special request." She said that while she never imagined a mother for her grandchild, she would like to meet her to have love, compassion, and maturity. Chaim said that out of her three children, Yotam was the only one who actively spoke about children. He said he wanted to be a father like his own father, she said. Yotam Chaim, age 28, was taken hostage from kibbutz Kfar Aza by rampaging Hamas terrorists on October 7, 2023. On December 10th of that year, he was accidentally killed by Israeli troops in Gaza as he tried to reach freedom. The soldiers mistook him and two other hostages as a threat in the Sheyaha neighborhood of Gaza City. In 2003, Attorney General Eliakim allowed the use of sperm on condition that the deceased had a steady partner who was currently interested in being inseminated, and the underlying assumption determines that this would be his wishes. It was also established that in the event that the deceased was single, it is permitted to use his sperm only if he explicitly confirmed that this was his wish, or if there is evidence that proves that this was his wish. The Attorney General additionally ruled that the parents of the deceased have no legal status of their own in this situation, and in order to approve the use of his sperm, one must perform an assessment by a social worker in order to clarify the wishes of the deceased and if the widow is consenting out of her own volition. In May of 2023, the Knesset approved in a preliminary reading a bill called Using the Sperm of a Deceased Person for Procreation, 2023, which uses the presumed consent model. This decision means that if the deceased would not like his sperm to be used, he must express his autonomous wish during his lifetime. Lacking a specific indication of the deceased's desire, it is presumed that the deceased would wish for his sperm to be used for procreation after his death. Additionally, currently posthumous in vitro fertilization rights are reserved only for the widows of fallen soldiers in Israel. The proposed change would expand these rights to non-married partners and parents, the former of whom could use the sperm even if the deceased did not give explicit instructions to do so before their deaths. Parents would be allowed to use the sperm if their son did not have girlfriends, or if they did but the partners were not interested. The bill states that in such scenarios, the soldier would need to have left written instructions for one of his parents to do so, but has not gone further than an initial reading. It needs to go through three readings before it becomes law. I also read an article from November 9, 2023, that the Health Ministry is allowing parents to circumvent usual legal procedures to have the sperm of their fallen soldier sons or civilian sons killed during the war to be retrieved before burial. According to a report in Haaretz, sperm has been retrieved from 33 men in the last month. This is, again, the article was dated November 9, 2023. Four of them civilians and the rest soldiers. The Health Ministry set up a special unit that works 24/7 with the IDF and the four hospitals housing sperm banks to notify families of the option of posthumous sperm retrieval and set it up as quickly as possible following the death of their son or husband. Sperm must be retrieved within 24 hours after death to increase its chances of viability when it is later unfrozen and used to fertilize an egg. However, experts say that posthumous sperm retrieval can be performed even several days after death when sperm is no longer motile. We look for, and then the, in normal times, posthumous sperm retrieval can be done at the request of a widow without any need for legal bureaucracy, but parents who want their dead son's sperm to be retrieved and preserved must obtain an order from a family court. this requirement has been eliminated, at least temporarily, in the aftermath of October 7th. So I want to talk about, what does the Torah feel? What's the Torah's position on posthumous sperm donation? So first of all, what's the value? Is there a Torah value in this procedure? So on the one hand, it's you're fulfilling the wishes of the deceased. Gemara in Tainus, Daf Chaf Alf Amud Aleph, among other places, cites the view of Rabbi Meir, who says, Mitzvah l'kaim divrei ames. There's a mitzvah to fulfill the desire of someone who's about to be deceased. And after he is deceased, if you can fulfill his wishes, it's very special. The truth is, the Gemara only mentions this in a monetary context about how to divvy up his property. That's a mitzvah l'kaim divrei hames. The question is, does it include even posthumous sperm retrieval? Another reason, perhaps, that expresses the value of this type of donation is that the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Dalman Av says Brahm is Akalav, that a son can provide a merit to a parent even after the parent passes away. In fact, the Beis Yosef Yerodea Simon Shin Ayin Vav cites the Kolbo, who explains that the origin of saying Kaddish for a parent was based on the fact that the parent is being judged in Shemayim, and therefore to help the parent who's being judged in Shemayim in heaven after he passes away, the child says Kaddish, or says Maftir by the Navi, says Maftir, who does Maftir. So just because the father passed away, the child can still do something that can provide a schus, a merit for the parent. So too, one can argue that providing a child to continue the legacy of the parent might be a tremendous chesed to the parent. And also, this is of similar value, perhaps, to the value of Yibum. What's Yibum? In Devarim Chav Hei, Psukim Hei Tevav, the Torah says that if a couple is married and they don't have children, the husband passes away. So then the wife marries a relative, a brother of the deceased, and that's called Yibum. And then the child who's born will take the place of the deceased brother. So his legacy will continue through this child. So this idea of posthumous sperm retrieval for the deceased individual is a form of Yibum. And again, it's not halachic Yibum, but it's the same concept. So these are some Torah values that we could find within this practice. But there are a number of halachic challenges. So number one, we must treat the body with respect. There is a negative approach to having an autopsy for that reason. The body and fluids of a dead body and the fluids in the body should be buried together. There's an Isser Hana, the Gemara in Zevachim, Daf Chav Tesavad Bey, says that a mace is Asur Bahana. You can't derive benefit from the deceased. The Sifrei in Kitetze Piskha Reish Chav Alef discusses that there's something called Nivol Hames, that you can't mutilate the body. So how do we get around these prohibitions if we were to engage in posthumous sperm reduction, retrieval? So first of all, maybe regarding the prohibition of Hana'a, so Rav Unterman has a big chiddush. He says that there's a mitzvah to bury the body and all parts of the body, but if you take a part of the body, let's say a cornea, and you use it for someone else to have someone see, so then when this is connected to a living person, the limb is no longer dead. The cornea is no longer dead. It's now been resurrected. So if you use the sperm to help create a child, so it's been resurrected, there's no prohibition of Hana. It's a big chiddush. Not everyone holds like Rav Unterman. Rav Herzog said that the standard way to benefit from Isser, from something that's prohibited, is achilas, to consume it. Here, you're not engaged in achilas, so it's not the normal way to benefit, so it may only be an Isser Drabanan. Professor Steinberg says, well, you're doing hana'a for the purpose of a mitzvah for procreation, so maybe it should be permitted. Regarding the issue of nivel hames, mutilating the body, so the famous tshuva by the Noda Behuda, who, the case was that someone, so I think a case from London where someone died due to a procedure, someone I think had a kidney stone and the person died, and they want to do an autopsy to see how the person died, because maybe they'll learn in the future of how to perform these procedures better, so it doesn't happen again. So then Rav Yecheskel Landau and Noda Behuda said an autopsy would be permitted, in other words, nivel hames, but only if it's there's someone who, if there's a chola, a sick person who needs our help, who is lefanenu, who's in front of us, not from some theoretical benefit in the future to help modern science, even though it could be beneficial. Nivel hames is only permitted to if there's someone who, if you can save a life through nivel hames. So here, so you could, based on the Noda Behuda, you can perform an organ transplant to save a life. But what about here? You're not saving a life, you're creating a life. Posthumous sperm retrieval is not to save a life, it's to create a life. What if there's a valid purpose to perpetuate the name of the deceased? Is that a reason enough to override the prohibition of nivel hames? The Rashba in a tshuva, he talks about embalming the deceased, Litzora Chames, to bury the mace elsewhere. He talks about that there's no prohibition of nivel if it's for kavod hames, to honor the deceased. So maybe here you're doing this to honor the deceased by retrieving the sperm. Rav Herzog has a different argument. He says maybe a person can be mochel on the bizayon of his body. Rav Cook says the person has no right to be mochel on the bizayon of his body. But Rav Herzog thinks maybe he can. So these are different ways to perhaps overcome some of these prohibitions. But Moshe has a very interesting way of overcoming the prohibition of nivel hames. Moshe in Yoredea, Chelek Beis Simon Kuf Nun Aleph, he says the following, that if you're not cutting limbs and you're not opening up the person's neck or his belly, Rak rotim lichtov nidel lahoti menu eza lachluchit lahoda mize eza dvar hanogim lamachla. If you're just sticking a needle in someone to remove some moisture, some liquid, to maybe some blood from the bloodstream, to try to figure out what caused this sickness, ein lahachshiv lenivel. This is not called nivel hames. Why? We do this for living people too. We're drawing blood for living people. That's not called nivel. So since it's done for living people, it can also be done for people who are deceased. This is not nivel hames to do a toxicology report just to see what's in the bloodstream. So if that's the case, then presumably to retrieve the sperm, again, it may not be, that act may not be considered nivel. A third issue regarding the challenge to posthumous sperm retrieval is the fact that you're creating orphans. Ephraim Greenblatt wrote in the letter of Burstein, he says that what kind of, let's say, a child that only has a mother, not a father, this is something that we'll want to create in this world. For a thousand of years, Jewish families have created children who have a father and a mother. And now all of a sudden they're going to have families that have only one parent? That's not good. It's a new thing and we shouldn't encourage it. If, God forbid, someone who's pregnant, unfortunately the spouse dies, so what can you do? Okay, you raise the parent as a single parent. But we shouldn't engage in this procedure to create someone, to bring someone to this world who doesn't have a father. Yitzchak Silverstein said that a child who's born without a father, he's going to ask, who's my father? And they're going to say, you don't have a father, and he's not going to have anyone who's going to teach him Torah and the way of life. And it's very difficult for the child to be brought into this world like this. Rav Elyashiv, Rav Dov Lior, Rav Rabinovich offered him, similar concept, that they said that even though they're deeply sympathetic to a bereaved widow or parent, they contend it's immoral to bring a child into the world knowing that he or she will not have a biological father. It's not in the interest of the child or broader society to allow such a phenomenon. So these are the values and these are the challenges, the halachic challenges, with posthumous sperm retrieval. What would the status of the child be? Rachel Zalman Orbach contended that the biological provider of the sperm never loses the status as the father, like in other cases of IVF, so therefore the child will continue the deceased genealogical lineage. Rachel Yisraeli questioned, he said, I don't know. Can a person posthumously do an act that creates fatherhood? So he questions whether the sperm donor would be the father, because he only becomes a sperm donor after he's not alive. He's questioning that. Moshe Sternbach and Chuas on Hagos Chelik Vav Simon Veish Mem Dalad. He said, "Deshava Kol Musag Mishkava Torah Ba'adam." Maybe all the concepts that the Torah established with the person, Kaba Be'ima Yehudi V'Nachri, like father, like mother, Jew, non-Jew, Kava Bina Torah Rak Ba'adam Achay Beguf, Torahly established with someone who is living in the body, who's physically living. V'She'enu Chay Beguf Enu Bichal Adam. But if he's not living, he's not called an Adam. So a dead person cannot become a father. Rav Yashiv does think the sperm donor is the father. So, again, I think many posting ones consider that the sperm donor is the father, but that's also a point of contention. What's the ruling of contemporary posting on this issue of posthumous sperm retrieval? So Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg first was asked this question: Mutar lishov zera mikis ashachim shel gever meis. Can you? He's talking about a couple that was married, and then their husband died. So can you then retrieve the sperm, so that to leave a zecher remembrance in this world? So he writes that if the niftar, if the deceased gave explicit permission, or if there's an umdana, there's a presumption, a clear presumption, this is his will, there's no prohibition. He says, "Al pi halacha tzarich sibak de lesser lo siba kazu amatzav hativi hu aheter." You need a reason to say it's forbidden. Without this reason, then the natural position should be that it should be permitted. So he thought that it would be permitted. If that's what we assume that's what he would want. In this spirit, Rabbi Dr. Mordechai Halpern deemed this as the ultimate act of kindness to the deceased. And other scholars, other poskim have given general support to this process. Rav Meir Mazuz, Rav Avram Stav, Professor Avram Steinberg. However, Rav Asher Weiss disagreed. Well, he argued in Kovetz Beit Hillel Chelek Yud Amud Ayin Gimel, said the deceased cannot perform mitzvos, first of all. So the person, once he's deceased, he can't perform mitzvah. And then he says, the mitzvah of l'kayim divrei meis, mitzvah to fulfill the wish of the deceased, that's only with his property, dividing up his property, not with anything else. He says that a person in time of his death is not a Navi, a king, a Nasi, to force everyone to do what he wants. And he says also that, presumably, what's going to happen in practice? Because no frum woman is going to want to be the mother. They're probably a Chiloni will want to do this. And therefore, the child will grow up not frum. And then there's a question, is it a schus, is it a merit to a person if a sperm is used to create a child who's not going to be from? So he thinks, again, maybe if we're in a society where a from woman would agree to be the mother, then maybe that would be different. But he's concerned about the child not being raised from, and is it really a chesed to the deceased person? Rav Moshe Sternbach thinks that a child who's born like this will be considered pogum, somehow defective spiritually. Therefore, you shouldn't bring into the world someone who's going to be like this. And finally, the Rabbanei Machon Pua in Kislev of Tafshin Pei Dalet. So, this is about a year or so ago, year and a half. So they just say that you need the right balance. If the person wanted this to happen, that if he should die, that there should be sperm should be retrieved for the purpose of leaving, of trying to create a child that will continue the deceased father's legacy. But he said you need to think about these things. You need to think about many different factors. There are halachic issues, ethical issues, social issues, psychological issues. To make the decision immediately when the person's avelos, when the parents make a decision for a child after, God forbid, he was killed in battle, right away with their state of avelos, state of mourning, it's not so simple. So you need to think about it and discuss it with the Rav, who's a posek, who's a stature, who understands halacha and medicine, in order to come up with the right answer. So it seems that there are some halachic objections, potential halachic objections, but it seems that certainly if this is something that the person would have wanted or that he expressly said that he wanted, there are a number of poskim that would allow posthumous sperm retrieval as an act of tremendous chesed for the deceased.